The Gospel is written in John chapter 13, verse 31, and is to be found on page 1081 in the Church Bible. John chapter 13, verse 31. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for yet another beautiful and lovely morning and for the word we've just heard. How I pray that you'll continue to speak unto us as you have always done before. Thank you for the Gospel. And wherever it's been spread, and where you're yet to take it. Even this morning, speak again. In your name I pray. Amen. It's always beautiful to share in God's word. And this morning, I'm so honored to be here to share God's word with you. I bring lots of love and greetings from Uganda, and particularly from Sayan, Uganda. Thank you, St. Pat's, for loving us and for always caring in every way. Thank you, Reverend Oli, for the opportunity you've given me to share God's word today. The Gospel of John is such a beautiful piece that John put together. It's greatly agreed that John is the author, or was the author then, and we continue to appreciate these lovely chapters. And John wrote with a very clear purpose. It's not disputed at all. The cause was that the first believers, the first hearers, and we today can be able to come to believe that Jesus Christ is divine. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we should come and believe the same. Friends, this morning, as we share from John's Gospel, chapter 13, 30 to 38, there are many things we can talk about this text, but three things will stand out quite clearly. When John wrote, there are many overarching themes he picked out, but in this text, three things are so key for us to focus on today. When we think about the glory of God in the context of love, we want to think about this at a deeper level. First, what is the nature of sacrificial love? Two, what does it mean to love one another? And number three, how can we continue to love one another with humility? These three simple themes come through in this particular text. But when John was writing in the first chapter, he made it very clear that Jesus is divine. Yet, in the subsequent chapters up to chapter 20, he showed the glory of God in a great sense. And in the closing part of the Gospel of John, he called us, he called on you and me to appreciate that he should be believed. Now, dwelling down in chapter 13, verses 30 to 38, John was very clear. At this particular time, Jesus had just met his disciples. They were in the upper room, and the time had come that he would be persecuted. The passion of Christ had just sparked. The passion of Christ was just about to start off. It was at a time when Jesus had met his disciples. And one of them, Judas, was just about to go and deny him. Think about yourself in such a time when you have a friend, you have people you trust, you have people whom you've been living with. All of a sudden, one of them is just about to plan a plot against you. This text begins when Judas had just left. Judas had just left the room and did not hear the words which we have just read. He had gone on a mission to start the journey to betray Christ. And Jesus, therefore, would speak to Peter and others about the way he was going to be betrayed. Poor Judas. He had just left, as we see in verse 31. In this text, we see that Jesus Christ has given us a great, great time to think about what sacrificial love is all about. Since Jesus is all-knowing, he knew Judas had just left to go out and betray him. Yet, he loved him. The sacrificial love of Christ that we see in John is so clear here that even to a person who had gone to betray him, he was ready, he was available to go ahead and die for him. Sacrificial love is of such a nature that it goes beyond self. It goes beyond what we know. So when he says that the time for him to be glorified had come, he's signaling to Peter and other disciples that his passion had actually begun. When Judas left, what was coming next? Actually, Jesus knew it all. Why? Jesus is all-knowing. He knew the time had come that he would be glorified. But glorifying himself is one thing. But Jesus himself knew he would be glorified with the Father. And in the Father, he is glorified in every way. So Jesus and the Father are one. They being one, when Jesus glorifies the Father is glorified. And therefore, we are so right when we honor Jesus Christ, because that way we honor our Father. The nature of sacrificial love is that you know Christ and you are ready to glorify Christ. Therefore, you glorify the Father when you glorify Christ. God will glorify the Son in himself, because when he was to go to the cross, the Father would be glorified because his mission would be done in what Christ would do on the cross. The nature of sacrificial love is that Christ gave himself not only for you, but also for me and for everyone who would believe that John wrote unto this beautiful piece. The nature of sacrificial love is so different that it only comes from Jesus himself. And it is manifested in the work of the Father. As Christ goes on the cross, as Christ went there to die for you and me, God glorified himself in Jesus. And when we come to believe in Christ, that way we too come to share in this glory. The nature of sacrificial love is only manifested, only understood, and only appreciated in the work that Christ did. Yet, Judas knew less about that. And so, he left. But even when Christ knew what was coming, he did not stop. He would say, "Here is Judas betraying me. I will not go ahead." No way. He went ahead and died for you and died for me. That way, he was glorified. But that came at a time when you and me could not understand. But the clear message is, he became glorified in that. Verse 34 and 35 take us to a new level. Why? Because we begin to see this love in a new way. What does he say? Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Remember, Judas had just left a person he had loved, he had worked with, he had trained, he had given everything unto him and for him, but he left. Yet, Christ never stopped loving Judas. That's why he tells the disciples, love one another. This meant that the disciples would live up to the purposes of God in a new way. The disciples would learn from Jesus Christ as the ultimate love, as the ultimate model of how to actually love. The disciples were to remember that Christ loved them even when they were undeserving, even when he could not have any reason to love them, but yet he continued to love them. Love one another. Christ reminds the disciples that the cause for his coming was to love. He loved us. That's why he gave up himself to die for us on the cross. The Father loved us. That's why he sent his only Son. He left his glory. He left everything and came to die for you and me, to die for mankind, to be reunited with God. What a love. And because of that love, then we ought to love one another. This love is manifested in many different ways. But this love is not cheap. It took the blood of Christ in order for us to get involved, to get closer, to get encapsulated in it. The love of Christ that was shed. Through the blood that was shed, his love is reflected back. Therefore, to love Christ, we ought to love one another. Brothers and sisters, verse 35 takes it even deeper. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you love one another. In church, love cannot be seen until we are able to show love to one another. Thank you, St. Pat's, because you've always modeled what love is in every way. You've got such a history of loving men and women, loving people whom you don't even know, loving people who you've never met. You've sent out missions. You've supported missionaries. You've supported ministers. This is love manifested in the church. Love one another. It is a call that you and me need to reflect. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you have learned, unless you've known, unless you've taken miles to dig into what it means to love one another. Christianity is such a unique call to appreciate who we are, but in the person of Jesus Christ, and it starts with love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Where love is, there is giving. Because God loved us, he gave us his Son. Because God has loved us, we ought to give love to other people. Love one another. In verse 36, Simon Peter said this. He asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Because Jesus had said, "Look, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go." Peter, in his great, work he did, in his great confidence, he asked, "Where are you going?" He is asking this question. So Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Jesus was very clear. He had explained many things to the disciples. Now here is Peter asking him, "Where are you going? You ought to be with us. You ought to be close where we are. You can't tell us you are leaving." But in verse 37, you know, Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will let down my life for you." Why is Peter saying that? Come on, Jesus, I've seen you all these days, all these years. We've worked together. Where you go, I will go. Peter only had a narrow view of what Christ was yet to do. Peter, half the time, thinks like me. Many times I look at things in a very small way, minute way, because sometimes my thinking is not divine enough. My thinking is not good enough. My thinking is, you know, marred with sin. My thinking is not perfect. I am like Peter. You could be like Peter as well. But yet, Jesus Christ answered him in a very unique way. What did he say? Jesus answered in verse 38. "Will you really let down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Three times. Oftentimes, when we think about love, we think we know it all. When we think about the nature of God's love, we think, yes, I think I pretty understand it all. Love that Jesus talks about here is so unique. It is love that is bathed in humility. Love that is under humility in every way. Love one another so humbly. In our weaknesses, we ought to love one another. In our imperfection, Peter thought he knew it all. But Christ told him, "No, no, 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 no. It's not the way you know it. I must go that you can be saved." If Christ never left, Peter would not be a true disciple. If Christ never left, Peter would not see the glory of God. Imagine Christ telling you, "If I don't go, you will not understand this." And this is what Christ did for you and for me. The nature of love is that Christ gave himself. But Peter thought, "Oh yes, I will go with you." If you read forward, Peter denied Christ three times, as indeed Christ prophesied. He knew Judas would betray him. He knew Peter would deny him, yet he continued to love them. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I call upon you to appreciate the nature of Christian love. You cannot know what this love is until you know Christ at a personal level, until you can understand that he came for you. He came for you and me. The nature of love is that Christ gave up everything that you can be reconciled back unto him. This reconciliation was because he went to the cross, died there, that you and me can share in the work of God. The big work of God is shown and manifested in the work of Jesus Christ. That's why we ought to love one another. That's why we ought to be having open hearts, ready to hear and receive the gospel, but also take it to others. This love should remind us of our weaknesses, our imperfections, our sinfulness, and take it all to God in prayer. What a love manifested. What a joy to see that God had a big plan. And this plan was manifested in Christ. Even when the disciples couldn't understand it, betrayed him, denied him, didn't know the full-blown version of it, he didn't give up on them. Don't give up on your people. Don't give up on your fellow Christians. Open your hearts. Show this love. Reflect it, that Christ can be reflected and known to as many people as possible. Will you go out today thinking about this love? Will you go out today sharing in the love of Jesus Christ, remembering you may be imperfect, but we serve a perfect, wonderful, and glorious God. God bless you. Let's pray. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for opening up that we can share in your great love. The nature of your love is that you love those who didn't love you, yet you teach them how to love you and how to love one another. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the gospel. Even when you were betrayed, even when you were denied, you continue to love us. Thank you for St. Pat's. Thank you for all these brothers and sisters and for the way they are all called for the cause of the gospel. We pray we'll continue to know you. We'll continue to appreciate you. We'll continue to reflect this love to one another because you loved us first. Therefore, we will love our fellow men and women. Let us love and live in humility because you've loved us and you've caused us so. In your name, I want to pray. Amen.